It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Today we're going to be in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 25. And so please that you'd open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25 and follow along with me as we read today. As you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit or like to write to us, you'll find us at address at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. So I hope that you have had enough time now to open your Bibles and that you can follow along today as we study God's sweet, precious Word. Exodus chapter 25, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat hair and ram's skin dyed red, badger skin and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. And now, verse 10, we're going to read concerning the ark, the making of the ark. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make up on it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves unto the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. Staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall ye make the cherubs on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Now we're going to stop there with the reading of God's precious word, verse 22, and we'll begin the study. But first we want to ask the Lord to bless us and guide us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we have your precious word. And so often the Old Testament is ignored today. And as I have taught for many years, that if you do not understand the Old Testament, you will never have the full understanding of the New. And it's so important that we look to your word and enjoy it and fellowship over it. So please, dear God, guide and lead us today. Show us your way and will this day, that your power and strength will be upon us, that we will know your will, we'll not have any question of what we're to be doing and what direction we're to be going in. We'll know the talents you've given us, and we'll be using those talents. Please, that our life be set upon bringing you honor and glory. We ask, dear Lord, that you will take this word and touch every heart, saved and lost alike, that the saved will be serving you and praising you and honoring you, and the lost will be convicted of their sin and aware of their condition, that they're lost and dying and going to spend eternity separated from you, dear God. And we don't want that. We want them to come by faith to you, have that personal relationship with you. So please, please, dear God, today you convict the hearts of every lost person that's listening and ask and penetrate that heart, and hopefully they'll surrender. It's free will, so, I mean, you don't force yourself upon anyone. I have freely come to you, and I freely serve you and praise you and honor you, and I ask that be the case with each lost person today, that they will turn to you and accept that free gift of salvation and understand that now they know you as their personal Savior. They have invited you into their heart, and so they'll begin a wonderful walk of service to you. But it must begin at the cross with a conviction of sin, their sin, and them inviting you to come in. And upon that invitation, the Holy Spirit will come to live within their heart. So please let that take place today. Now please guide and lead us in the study as we enjoy this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to back up just a little bit and look at the obedience of Moses as he was obedient to come and find himself at the mount with Joshua, first with the elders. Then they separated. It was just Joshua and Moses, I believe. And then they separated, and Moses went on up into the mount. And we find that the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. We have that before us here as we just read the 15th through the 18th verse of the last chapter. We spent some time last time looking at where it says in the 12th verse, "Come up unto me," and then he says, "Be there," and don't go back down, don't come on up. You just be there, and you wait for me. And we need to learn those kinds of words and be obedient to those kinds of words as God directs us through this time and through this life. And when we call and words are said to be there, and even that he would go up into this consuming fire, he was faithful and obedient to do that. And the reason that he could is because of what he had learned, and the patience he had learned through the 40 years in the wilderness, and God had prepared him. And then each day he prepares us. You know, he doesn't prepare us over a short period of time for the rest of our life. He takes every situation of the day and grows us and shows us his way and will. And this is no different with Moses here. And so we really enjoy the picture. Now, we're getting to see what Moses is seeing, what Moses is hearing. And, you know, we don't get everything. We don't know all that Moses has seen. We don't know all that Moses has heard. But we do know that it is what we need to hear and what we need to see. And so please that you look at these words as we read them, and you'll find that they are very general in nature. They do not give us very specific things. Sometimes when we get to the lampstands and things like that, why, they'll give quite a description of them, and yet not enough so that we can make it, because we're not to make this. This was for one purpose, and this was for the nation of Israel. It was for the place where the people of Israel would meet God, and God's going to make it. Now, they're living in tents. They're traveling through the wilderness and on to the promised land. God's going to give them this temple, but it's called a tabernacle here, and it also is a tent. And so you're going to find that as we look at these materials, and they're not very big because the nation of Israel, this 2 million, 3 million, whatever the number is, of Israelites, you'll find that they do not attend, come in to this building to meet with God. Their part is to bring their offerings, their sacrifices, and then the priests would take them on in and be presented unto the Lord. And then on the Day of Atonement, one time a year, we go into this Holy of Holies, and that is the high priest, and we'll find it that he never enters into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, without the blood. You can't miss that. We have to look at that. We're going to be talking about that often, and you may have never thought, never heard about that, and that's the reason that the Scripture is very clear. When we look at Exodus and Leviticus, and particularly Leviticus is necessary to understand and to study so that we can know and understand the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And if you know and understand Leviticus, you're going to know and understand Hebrews. And so when we look here at this book, it's very interesting and it's fun, and we're going to enjoy it. We're going to grow. We're going to have people that's going to come to know Jesus Christ because of it. We're going to have people I know that's going to grow and learn some things that you never knew before. And it's going to begin with this building, and it starts here, and Moses is up on the mount, and so that's where it kind of begins. He is up on the mount, but something else takes place here because, you know, we've always heard he went to Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments. That's true. He also, when he got up there, he also got the plans to the tabernacle. Every time that God brings judgment and presents judgment, also will come his grace, his love. Never does he bring judgment without his love, and that's all through God's word. Now, there's going to be a time in the book of Revelation when these judgment just keeps pouring out, but if you'll notice, when these judgments come, there's a time of peace, a time of stillness, a waiting period. Sometimes it's a little longer period, sometimes it's a very short period, but there's always a time, and it's for the people to repent. They don't, but there's an opportunity for them to repent. And so please that you repent today. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him today. We have Moses up on the mount, Moses getting these instructions. Let's look first, and it's kind of interesting to see, because it is all about your will. God desires that you be saved, and he wants you saved. But it's your will that's going to make the decision. It doesn't matter if you've come to this church and you've attended this church all of your life, all the years that this church has been in existence. You have been here, you've listened, you've never missed a service, you've been baptized, you take the Lord's Supper, you do all those things. If you neglect the salvation that Jesus Christ offers you, it doesn't matter that you've been a part of this church, but it's so sad because as many times as the plan of salvation is repeated and you have not repented, then you will be in judgment, God's hand of judgment upon you, because he will make it so clear every time you heard the plan of salvation presented and you ignored it. And so please that you don't ignore it, that you come, and maybe you're just part of this radio program. You just come and you've been a faithful listener, and I thank you for that. I'm glad that you are, but not glad for me, glad for you, and glad hopefully for God, because then if you've come by faith to Jesus Christ, you're able to praise him and honor him and glorify him, and we desire that. We're going to see about the will here. Let's look at the first verse of chapter 25. The Lord said to Moses, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. We're going to work this scripture verse backwards just a little bit. Look whose offering it is. It's the Lord's offering. It's not my offering. It's not something that I have to give. It is God's offering. It's already His. We can either steal from Him and keep it, or we can faithfully and prayerfully give it to Him. And so, but we have the opportunity to say no or to say yes, willingly. God asks for the people to give this offering willingly. Now, we want to see that. I've got that underlined in my scripture. Willingly, with his heart, please, that in his heart he gives this willingly. You know, where your heart is, that's your, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. It sure works both ways. And your mind's in there someplace. And we need to see that our mind and our heart are set upon the things of God. And so here they're going to be asked that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Now let's look, and I'm going to read through the things that are listed here, and then we're going to back up and kind of talk about them. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, again, willingly, gold, silver, and brass. Look at that, gold, silver, and brass. Blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram's skin dyed red, badger skin, and shittim wood. Now, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Now, we're going to back up here just a little bit and look at these things. Where in the world would these slaves get gold and silver and brass, this fine linen, the wood, maybe you could see that, the badger skin, the ram skin maybe, but the oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, that's always very expensive. And sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to set in the ephod in the breastplate. Now, they don't know what a breastplate is, but it's something that the high priest is going to wear. And so it is quite an outfit that he'll have. We're going to spend some time later in the scripture looking at what the high priest wears. But as we look at these items, where did they find them? Do you remember back in Exodus when God told Moses to tell the people to go unto the Egyptians and ask them for their gold and their silver and for their fine items? Do you remember that? Do you remember when they were told to do that? And we discussed at that time, as back in the 11th chapter, we discussed at that time that it would be a strange request. And you could decide that maybe, you know, that Egyptian's going to just put me to death if I would do such a thing. Now, I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 11. And it says, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord. And so we find that that's when they receive, they're to go. This is the night that they're leaving, because the death of the firstborn, the first Passover, and that is a beautiful story, and I know that you remember studying that, a beautiful example of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ we have in that chapter that is beyond this one. But as we look here at the 11th chapter and we read through that, we find that God put into the heart of the Egyptians to give. Now, that's fine to the heart of the Egyptians to give. But when someone would tell you, and we've been studying in the book of Acts, and when they had taken Paul, and at the time his name was Saul, and on the road to Damascus, they took him on into Damascus, and then there was a man that was told to go and speak to him and pray for him, and he says, oh, not so, that's Saul of Tarsus, I'm not going to go there. I mean, he arrests us, he kills us, he puts Christians to death. But God had to secure in his heart and his mind that it was okay. And it's the same thing here, and it's called a walk by faith. And here, why these people had to trust God that it would be fine, that it would be safe to go ask the Egyptians for their jewels and their silver and their gold and their brass and all these things, some of the linen, all these things. Where did they get this from? They were slaves. And yet we find that they possess all these things necessary, not for their own comfort, not for their own wealth. That wasn't the reason that they had received this. It was kind of a payment for the years of slavery and bondage that they had been in. But the purpose was not for themselves to get gain. The purpose was that they would have the proper material to build the tabernacle. They didn't know that. They didn't understand it. They were asked to go and inquire of the Egyptians if they could receive this. And if they did, God put in the heart of that Egyptian to give. Well, now what happens to the man, to the Israelite, now that they have held this possession for a period of time, not a long time, but a period of time, and now that they have this wealth and have this possession, and now God asks that they give it willingly, give it up. What would you do? Would you say that, no, I'm owed this. I have worked in the brickyards. I was a slave. This is mine. And you could do that. But if you did that, then you had no part of the fellowship that's going to come. And so it's so good for us to see that we need to give willingly in the support of God's work and give it with the right heart so that we can receive the blessings of it. And I ask that you do that. And here God asks that you give willingly from the heart. And these people, many, most did, were so thankful. They could have held on to that, and I'm sure some did. But God asked, and there's going to be a time that he's going to ask for a half a shekel of silver. And if they don't give of that half a shekel of silver, we're going to find that they have lost their fellowship and their service with God. They will not possess salvation if they don't do that. That's a request, and because the silver, we're going to find, stands for the blood. Now, as we look at this scripture again, we see all the list of those things, from the onyx stones and the stones that are going into the breastplate, and we have a list of that later, to the gold and silver and everything between. And we find, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes right now and kind of give you just a little bit of the size of this. The tabernacle is 15 feet wide. It is 15 foot tall. It is 45 foot long. And so kind of get that in your mind. 15 feet wide, that's your house is wider than that. Most homes are wider than that. 45 feet is a common length. That's not a big house. To have it 45 feet long, that is in two rooms. The first room is 30 foot long. The second room is 15. And so if you'll think about it, you'll realize that it's 15 feet wide, 15 foot long, and 15 foot tall. So it's like a cube. That is one room, and that room we're going to call the Holy of Holies. And then that's the second room. The first room is a room that is 30 by 15 by a 15 foot tall ceiling. That is the holy place. So we have the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And the only thing, that's the building, that is the tabernacle. 30 feet, 45 feet wide, 30 and 15, 15 foot wide, 15 foot high. That is the size of the tabernacle. And so you can see that there's no way we can get 1 million or 2 million or 3 million people into this building, because it's a small building, but it's a place we're going to meet God. This Holy of Holies is where we're going to find a piece of furniture. And that piece of furniture is this Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that we read in this first section when it talked about the cherubims and the size and all of those things. And so we will begin with that next time we come together. I want to show you that according to all that I showed thee, in verse 9 of this 25th chapter, how did Moses, with the description that we're going to get, you'll think, you know, Moses must just use his imagination to build this thing. He didn't use his imagination at all. There is a tabernacle in heaven, and I believe that Moses was able to see it. I think Moses opened it up so God could, God opened it up so Moses could see it. And we find, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. It sure gives us the appearance that Moses has seen this building. And we know that there is the Holy of Holies, there is the Ark of the Covenant, those items are in heaven. We know that, the Lord Jesus Christ, being our high priest, upon dying on the cross, took his blood and presented it in the holy to God the Father in the Holy of Holies. And you say, Larry, I don't know why you say things like that. It is because it is in the Word of God. And we're going to find that never does the high priest enter into the Holy of Holies without the blood. He can't. And if he does, if he attempts to, he's going to die. And so we find that, number one, the Israelites received all these goods from the Egyptians, and it was because they had, Israel had faith and walked to them and asked them, and they gave it to them. And so you see, we must have faith, and we must look to our God, and he will bless us. Now, not necessarily financially, but he will bless us spiritually. He will give us a peace and a joy, a strength that matches none. We need to call upon him. So we find that that's where these goods came from the gold and silver all the way down to the onyx stones and everything between. And then we find that how is he going to know how to build this building? He has seen it by the pattern that I've shown you. And so I believe that he has seen the brazen laver, the brazen altar first, then the brazen laver. This is out in the courtyard. I believe he saw the courtyard. I believe he saw the tabernacle. I believe he has witnessed the lampstand, the table of showbread, the incense altar, and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. I believe that he has seen how this was to be built with the silver pots that that this building sits upon, because you see, Everything that we have is set upon the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our foundation. We have no other foundation, and you're going to see that in this building. And so please that you will not miss one of these studies. And we have read a little bit about the Ark. We're going to begin there this coming time. And when we do, we're going to look at some of the sizes. It's going to be smaller than you think, but it's a little building. The 15 by 15 is the size of a normal living room. And so you're going to see that this building here that we're speaking of isn't very big, but it is sure sufficient for what God wants us to have and to see. So please don't miss it. It is a wonderful study that we've had in the introduction now, as we're looking at where they got the materials, where Moses is getting this, what Moses got to see. And we're going to begin then with the 10th verse next time. So please, that you will look to the Word of God, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?